Tony Rice. You're listening to Verum Sports on your Saturday afternoon, and I love this time of year. It's autumn. The Autumn Internationals are here, and we are very lucky once again for his hat-trick appearance to welcome back to Verum Sports International Rugby Union's third all-time top scorer and still Australia's number one, David Campese. Welcome back to Verum Sports.
Thanks, mate. How are you going?
Hey, do you know what? Doing very, very well indeed. I'll tell you, as I was saying, I love this time of year. And it's very important for all the nations at the moment because before you know it, blink of an eye, this year's gone like that. It's going to be World Cup time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's. I think it's just watching the test matches over the last two weekends. It's. I think the IRB have got to try and think of a way somehow to have a look at the test series now because, I mean, these Southern Hemisphere teams have been playing since February this year. It's a long year.
Yes.
And it's, you can see it, you're not really getting the best quality games. You know, as we saw Wales, Wallabies last week's 9-6. You know, it's very unusual in a era now where there's supposed to be more tries scored. And maybe they've got to relook at maybe having a longer tour, not having these games every single year. But anyway,
It's a really interesting. It is maybe the biggest issue in rugby right now. Again, from the kind of Northern Hemisphere's perspective, all the players coming off a very intense Lions tour to New Zealand. You know, the quality naturally dipped at the start of the season. It's almost, you know, an 11-month season at the moment if you are at the pinnacle, and that's just unfeasible. Something has to give. I know there's been things mooted about kind of limiting the number of games and what have you, but it seems at the moment there's very much they give with one hand but take with the other. I don't think at the moment, David, anybody's got the problem, the solution to this massive problem.
No, they haven't, but I just think it's getting to the stage where the game is very different as well. It's a very bash fest, isn't it?
Yes, it's you're
very,
not wrong.
Hit people, you know, the bigger you are, the better you are. I don't think the skill factor is actually getting any better, personally.
I mean, I think this year, with a guy like Sam Warburton, pretty solid open side flank in his own right, 29 retires. You know, like I say, like you were saying, it is very much bash them up first as an attitude rather than maybe the kind of mercurial Alan that you and, you know, Ella from Australia, for instance, you know, were absolutely fabulous and really personally made me fall in love with the game.
Yeah, look, it has changed, and I admit that. I mean, professionalism has changed a lot. But also, we've had a big influence from the rugby league sector with defence. I mean, you think about every team, they talk about defence instead of actually attack. And I think it's getting to the stage now where we change the laws every year or so, but it's actually making the game worse. I was on BT Sport last night, and they demonstrated that the offside charge down kick by England. And he went. They went through Benke. Went through the whole law system, and it was basically what he said was that the referee was looking at the wrong thing, and it wasn't. There was no offside line because the All Black at the back of the mall had his arms straight, so he wasn't in contact. His shoulder wasn't in contact with the person in front. So I mean, I had no idea about that.
The thing is,
the referee can penalise every single ruck. So why don't you just make it very simple? Bring back ruck in.
Yes.
And obviously, forward momentum, the ball comes out, and off you go. The scrums, 30 seconds. The World Cup, 91, a long time ago, the scrum took about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Guys got there, the referee had nothing to do with the scrum. The two props collided, ball goes in, out we go and play.
And I've got to tell you, as a lifetime paid-up member of the Front Row Union, also in those days, it was fed straight down the middle, allowing hookers to actually compete for the ball.
We saw the South African put the ball in the scrum last week, didn't we? It wasn't very straight.
I got to be honest. I think I know they were trying to drill into this, but still, to my eyes, if they're calling straight, sort of 3 degrees one side to the you know the feet seam feeding, then that in my head is a long way from the straight of my youth. But that's another long conversation. Coming back though to the weekend, I wasn't going to be a whinging pom about that offside one, David. I think you're dead right. It was a very controversial decision. Interestingly enough, Although, as you alluded to there with the analysis from Kay, who certainly knows a thing or two about that murky world, it was nevertheless changed because England almost got their gripes on about tactics Italy played in the Six Nations a few years ago. So
I remember that.
You know, it almost comes 360. For me, okay, I thought I was impressed by the performance, but I felt that that was one that got away, and maybe England right now have almost, or maybe they need to reacquaint themselves with the art of winning a game, killing it off.
Yeah, look, it's not an easy thing. I mean, it's, again, it's, you know, your season's sort of just started. You know, you've had long rests. You know, in the summer, teams went away. We had Ireland and Australia. I think Wales were in New Zealand, weren't they? No, they were in Argentina. So teams were spread out around the world. You know, I've had a break, come back. Look, it's hard because, you know, I think everyone's gearing to the World Cup. I don't understand how the login system works now. I mean, I talked about if Australia beat New Zealand in Tokyo, New Zealand would lose number two. And I actually said, well, how can that happen when there's no other game in the world played?
Yeah.
So I don't understand how that all sort of fits into play. But yeah, look, it's tough. Eddie's obviously, you know, started off on fire, has gone downhill a bit. I think the players understand him a bit better now. So, you know, it's not easy. They've got Japan this week, and then obviously the Wallabies the week after. So, it's, you know, this week is really, it'd be great to sort of, if I was the coach, to give a whole young 15 a run. Because they're going to be the future of the game. And then, obviously, the team that plays the Wallabies would have had a week's rest. So, anyway, I'm not the coach.
Eddie Jones obviously is, and I'm sure he'll be doing the similar things to what you say, though, there. Chances probably for the likes of Slade to get a run out. I was impressed with Underhill for England. I know, obviously, that he was the one that got over the try line post that controversial offside decision. But irrespective of that lovely bit of footwork that actually took him over the corner, talking a bit of flair in our modern world. But overall, as an open side, got around the pitch, made a lot of tackles. Very, very impressed with that young man. I think he's got a future in the game. I'm obviously well excited for England Australia. Whenever they come to town, David, there's always that sense of anticipation between, I guess, the old rivals. For you, is the pressure on both coaches here? Shakra, obviously, again, where Australia lost to Wales for the first time in 13. Eddie Jones, again, after a great start, maybe feeling the heat. Here's their record before this weekend. In the last six, only two wins for both England and Australia. So it's going to be a crunch one, isn't it, on the 24th?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And, you know, it's the enemy, you know, the old enemy you talked about. And there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of tradition. And I just hope the Wallabies understand that. They've got to turn up and realise England are the enemy. So, you know, you've got to go out there and make sure that you beat them. It's going to be hard at Twickenham. You know, Eddie and Czech played at the same club in St. Nicola Ren, which is a very famous club.
Hey, there's not much love lost between them, is there, really?
Well, I think there is. I think there is. I mean, they've always been, they all know each other pretty well. So I just think it's, Eddie, I think the problem with Eddie is he's a small stature person. So, you know, the small man syndrome problem sometimes. So I think that he, you know, he loved to talk a bit. He talked about the Japanese, go to pray in temples because they're in a bit of a hiding this week.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way Eddie works. He was, and I remember on the field, he was the biggest ledger ever, and nothing's changed. He's the same off the field. So that's how he operates. You just got to take it in tongue-in-cheek sometimes. And the thing is, you just got to go out there and play your best 80 minutes.
Do you know, again, there will inevitably be an awful kind of media brouhaha surrounding this one as we build up to it over the next kind of 8-10 days. David, one of our people that we regularly go to as a reporter covers are the old Albanians, who are one of the highest ranked amateur teams here in the St. Albans area. He wanted to ask you, as a man who obviously was a little bit of a wizard of utilising the media and certainly playing with them, how does it affect the players, positively or negatively, the media kind of build up and brouhaha, or is that always going to be unique to the individual?
It means absolutely nothing. The journos love to tell a story. They want to go and say something.
and that's all they do. They're just looking for a story, just to, you know, just to make the game more exciting. People want to go and watch or things like that. That's all it is. It's not really, you know, I mean, the questions they ask and all that is really, it's a setup. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, people aren't stupid anymore. It's about two teams that play the game. And really, it doesn't matter what you say off the paddock, it's actually how you perform on the paddock.
Yep.
I'm sure if you talk to the players, they wouldn't know what was said in the press. So it doesn't really mean a lot. But the thing is, that's what the journos, are the ones who are looking for a story.
Of course. Of course, and lots of print and hours of radio and TV that have to be filled as well. So, you know, we're all just doing our jobs. But David, coming back to kind of doing the jobs, it's going to be a massive one this weekend. It's been dubbed the Champions of the Northern Hemisphere versus the Champions of the Southern Hemisphere. I believe you're going to be in Ireland. What's your thoughts ahead of Ireland, New Zealand this very Saturday?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a tough one. Obviously, the Kiwis, a bit of revenge from last year when they lost to America. And I think they played a week after and they beat Ireland. Ireland came to Australia, you know, and beat Australia in Australia. So, yeah, look, it's the Irish have come a long way. They're a very, very physical team. I don't think they're a flair team, but what they do is everything right. They capitalise on mistakes.
Yep.
You're playing the All Blacks. Blacks are the best in the world at many things. And, obviously, they'll create something out of nothing as well. So, if Ireland turn up, it's going to be a tough game. It's hard, I suppose. Last week wasn't their best game, but again, you know, at least they've had a run. And they're playing the best team in the world. So the All Blacks, I'm sure, make sure that they'll go the 80 minutes, which they normally do. Ireland's really, you know, got to sort of stand up, and if they want to be a World Cup contender, they've really got to put the fight to the All Blacks this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I really rate this Irish team. They're a team that's been together for a long time. They've evolved there because previously there was maybe the last mercurial genius of our generation, Driscoll, and several of the maybe Munster forwards kind of moved away. And they've managed, though, nevertheless, through, I guess, cohesion with Sexton there becoming the man and other players fitting in a brilliant back row to kind of move it onwards, not lose that step, which you sometimes see when key players drop out of the arena. Very, very impressed with the infrastructure Ireland have built. But like you say, New Zealand, they are the standard bearers. I mean, goodness me, their winger is the top scorer since he came onto the scene, Ione, and then you know, the young man at fly is the second top scorer in that time span. So it just goes to show you the fireworks that this New Zealand team have. For you, great game. I'm already excited for it. Do you favour New Zealand, or do you think in front of the home faithful, Ireland could well work some Irish magic on Saturday?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a tough one. As I said, you know, it depends on how the teams sort of turn up. Just said the All Blacks, you know, you can see against England in that second half, they really were more about the winning of the game. In that last 10, 15, they just didn't really, they just wanted to protect their try line. And obviously, it depends on the weather as well. If it is a bit wet, you know, it brings the southern Northern Hemisphere teams into the game because obviously down south it doesn't really rain a lot. But again, it's one of those grudge matches that, unfortunately, the thing that I don't really like to say is sometimes the referees make some big blues. And that's the concerning tight games when the referee goes looking for something. And that's what I think's wrong with our game is the referees can win or lose a game from one bad decision, and it's happened over the last couple of weeks. The Farrell tackle for me was a red card.
Yeah.
But again, you know, that could have been Eddie Jones's loss again. So the referees are making big decisions in games, and I think that, you know, we're supposed to make the game simpler for ourselves.
Yes, yes.
You know, but it's actually made it more complex. So the IRB changes the rules every year. It is a bash case. You know, and people, the mothers in Australia as well don't want their kids to play because they just see these giants running into each other.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not what I know as rugby. But again, I said, you know, I just hope that the game is played in the great spirit, which they do, and the best team wins.
We'll find out Saturday, that's for sure. And you're right, David. There are certainly drastically worlds apart the game of rugby over the last literally almost 5-10 years from before. Still, I like to believe that some of the essence remains. But, you know, I think you've raised a very valid point, which is to say that tweaking constantly, incessantly with rules only muddies the waters, such that even Courtney Laws himself, the guy at the second row at the centre of the charge down situation last weekend for England, actually said openly, quite frankly, I don't know what the offside line was at that moment. So there we have it. Leaping finally into the future, and once again, always supremely grateful for your time. 24th, the big one at Twickenham, the old enemies collide. I know it's going to be a tough one. Again, two sides desperate for a win. Do you think this will be England in front of the home faithful getting the job done, or your Australian boys putting us back in our place?
Yeah, look, I just think I think for Australian supporters, and I think the Wallabies have actually got to perform. They haven't really, you know, performed well. They just seem to be lacking. I don't know what's missing, but it's, obviously Cheka's been working hard. He's got a World Cup next year. There's a lot of pressure on. And England at home, always tough to beat. It's never easy. And I just think it's the team that really wants it is going to win. I hope it's the Wallabies. I hope they play well against Italy this week and then turn up for the last game of the year to give everything in the tank for the 80 minutes and not leave anything out in the oval to make sure that Eddie has got a few tears, I suppose, in his eyes.
Tell you what, you set the scene perfectly. I'm really excited. David, as always, your hat-trick appearance on Verulam Sports, your insights always top-notch. Final quick question, actually, David, actually, just before I let you go. Again, every single time I've spoken to you, your understanding, your finger on the pulse-idness impresses me. I just wonder, has the Australian infrastructure at the top level ever asked you to kind of, you know, come along, give some ideas, coaching and what have you to the top elite there in Australia at the moment?
Probably run the ball from the dressing room is not really the way the game is, let's say. I know Cheka pretty well. I have offered to probably do a bit of attack, but he's got his team there.
Sure.
But what I'm doing at the moment is in Australia, I've been around the country coaching the kids and the coaches at junior level. I think that's where we've got to really start, you know, focusing on, because the skill factor isn't fantastic. What we normally see what other teams do. We've lost a lot of our players, we've got a lot of young guys, but I'm more concerned about coaching 6 to 8 to 12 roles and the coaches who coach that, because if you can't do the basics at that age, you're going to struggle right through life.
I'll tell you what, David, if anybody can instill those core skills and the eye for the gap and a little touch of magic, it's your good self. 64 tries in 101 appearances, remains international rugby's third all-time top scorer, a rugby scholar and a true gentleman. I really appreciate your time once again, David. Thank you.
Anytime, mate. Thanks very much.
Top man. Have a good evening. Thank you.